Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
If the best option is potentially sequestering yourself, that is a plan that you try to make happen. They're going to have to deal with life like they have never known before.
You're going to think that America is like Asgard.
Dale Arnold.
Because I won't be able to get international fighters, all of them into the U.S. So I have a private island. I'm going to start flying them all into the private island and doing international fights from there.
Rich Key.
But if you're going to bring in Andy Dalton, I would rather have Jake Fromm. Jake Fromm is the smartest, most mature quarterback that I have been around in the last 2 years.
Dale and Keith, middays.
It's Bam.
Hot with breaking.
Karaoke Tuesday.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
You know, there are times when God drops hints that you've just got too much disposable income. Not you and me, Rich, but others.
Yeah, I haven't had that time just
not
yet.
You and me,
I'm
but
still
others
waiting for
there.
That.
When you secure a private island to host your UFC international fights, that's God's way of saying you got too much disposable
income. What
do you mean?
Income. You're not excited for Fight Island? You don't think that's a nice way of giving
if
people
win,
some entertainment?
If you win, you get to get off. Otherwise, you're here for good, pal.
They kind of have to turn it into a reality show, don't they? I mean, The Ultimate Fighter was a reality show back in like 2003, I think it started. And that really helped launch the UFC into the mainstream. If you have all these guys on an island, you're almost forced into just filming everything and being like, all right, we're going to have a UFC channel. We're going to have fights every single week. Nobody can leave the island unless, of course, they test positive and then we're firing them into the ocean.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's a lot of crazy ideas going on right now.
Sometimes you fire them into the sun. In this case, you'll just fire them into the ocean.
Well, the ocean, you give them a chance to get back. You know, maybe they earn their way back. The sun's kind of, that's it. You're done once you get fired into the sun. But I don't know. I mean, UFC on an island, because they're one of the few, very few sports that is sort of kept going here. You know, everybody else has hit pause or
although
just straight
he
up
ended
canceled.
Up having to he was gonna I'm not doing anything. I'm staying.
Yeah.
And then it was like, all right, we gotta kind of postpone three of these.
We gotta do something different. But they just have so many events and they appear to wanna keep going. And I know Dana White was talking about, you know, if they hold anything in the United States, that eliminates the foreign fighters from coming in. So he's like, I'll get an island. Like, what are there just islands? Like, I don't understand that, because you hear about rich people buying islands and you're like, aren't we out of islands by now?
He didn't say that he bought it. He said he secured it.
Like, rented an island?
He might have rented it. And yeah, I mean, I don't know, maybe some rich guy said, yeah, what the hell, I'm not going to use it for a while.
Well, is it
Richard
90-
Branson said, yeah, go ahead, take my island for a while.
90% of the ocean's unexplored, right? So maybe he just found one.
Found an island.
Yeah,
I don't know.
If you look long enough,
like
you're bound to
on,
find one.
I feel like
he could be the
Earth
next Ferdinand Magellan. Who? How do we know?
You think he's Magellan?
Given Abe a typewriter.
He might be a great explorer.
You think Dana White is Magellan?
He could be.
Sailing the ocean's blue.
What else could he be doing right now?
Did he buy it from Ja Rule?
You know, Magellan didn't actually make it around the world. He was killed by Aborigines in Australia.
How about that? Do you know we were teaching history to your kids? Gather around the radio, folks.
Better than those Zoom classes.
Just say, hey, Alexa, play WEEI, and John and Shine will teach you history.
Yeah, well, we can't get hacked by people exposing themselves like Zoom conferences have been.
Coming up after the break, we'll study trigonometry.
I don't care how you spend your free time, John. All right?
Jumping
into Zoom chats and pulling your pants down is no way to go through the quarantine. All right?
None of us want to see that anyway.
No, it's disgusting.
I mean, don't you get the sense that Dana White's UFC Island could be his version of Fire Festival or something.
Well, there's a chance of it, but I also feel like Vince McMahon is looking closely at this, Dale, and he is going to say, "Hey, is there a room on that island for some wrestling? We can show up. We can co-promote some of these things." I don't know. I mean, you got to get creative. There are plenty of bad ideas out there, but all these leagues have to. And I know we'll get into what baseball is thinking and what hockey and basketball they're all thinking. So yeah, you first hear, "Hey, we're going to rent an island." You're like, "What are you doing?" Then you're like, "Well, I don't know. Can you?"
Got another idea?
Yeah, how many? What time's the fight on? I'll watch. Like, people are losing it.
I listened to the Dana White interview earlier today, and he said, first of all, he secured the island. I don't know what that means.
Did he say like where the island
taking
is?
Taking Anzio or something.
Yeah, where's the island? Do we know?
No, he won't tell because then people will try to get to it.
That's not a great.
Should we hear the other part of his interview?
Yeah.
Dana White was talking about this and the part that kind of cracked me up.
I'm a day or two away from securing a private island. I have a private island that I've secured. We're getting the infrastructure put in now. So I'm going to start doing the international fights too with international fighters. Because I won't be able to get international fighters, all of them into the U.S. So I have a private island. I'm going to start flying them all into the private island and doing international fights from there. So as of April 18th, the UFC is back up and running.
So I'm having the infrastructure put in now. I picture it's basically
just
a ring and that's about it, right?
That's all you need, I think, is an octagon.
Some
right?
tents, maybe? I mean, something
you need,
like that.
You need a place for the camera, right? Because you're not going to just have these fights and not show them. That's the whole idea for them. So I'm looking online how to buy an island. There's sites here. You can go islands for rent, islands for sale.
Oh, nice.
I would have guessed that they're all kind of wrapped up by now, but this one's just, this one's $160 million. I mean,
let's be honest. Dana White is filthy rich.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
he's got millions and millions of dollars. Hmm. Now, does it say how much it costs to rent one of these islands?
I
don't want to buy one for $160 million. You know, what if I just want to, have it for the weekend or something?
All right, that's a good point. Let's see. This one's in Honduras.
Good.
Let's see what this is going
to
go.
It'll be easy to get to, right?
Going
to
run you for. Oh, yeah. I think you have to call for the pricing.
Oh,
that might be one of those guys.
They suck
you
in.
Yeah, they do.
Once they get you on the phone, then you start getting robocalls from the island rental guys.
Yeah, don't give them your information. You don't want to do that. But, I mean, maybe it would be a good investment for the UFC to buy the island, and then you just always have it. You're always going to be prepared. We don't know how long this is going to take. They're going to put on fights every single week is what it sounds like. I just feel
because he said he's got to make up for the three that he had to postpone. Yeah.
So what do you do logistically? Like, because you got to get food in there, right? You got
to no. Just tell them to bring a lunchbox.
Yeah, you don't need to shower. You just go in the ocean, obviously.
Yeah, dive, take a little dip.
I think it's gonna be. It might be tough. Might be tough to pull off. But
I got a feeling Dana White's gonna try.
Yep, and I'll watch.
We will.
I will watch the Island Fighter.
I did not watch last night, but I've scoured social media this morning. I have to admit, I'm a bit surprised Gronk apparently did not lose his 24/7 title last night. Huh?
Did he appear last night, do you know?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
But I know that if he had lost it, I'd have heard about it.
See, if he wants to keep that belt, he should never show up again. Because I feel like every time that is on
go
TV,
to Dana White's
it
Island.
To somebody else. Yeah.
Go there, and who's going to find you?
Yeah, not bad. Well,
I didn't watch Raw and
I didn't see Gronk trending or anything like that. So I'm
that's why I said I know he must have kept it.
Maybe he had the week off. Maybe he'll pop back up some other time. But now that he has the belt, you know he has to come back on at least one more time. They got to show that.
Because somebody's got to take it away from him.
Yeah, Buddy Mojo, you set up a nice feud. Then the next WrestleMania, you get Rob Gronkowski, Mojo Rawley, which is what everybody wants.
Well, everybody... Oh, yeah, can't wait.
It's
for
what
that.
Everybody wants, Dale.
Everybody was assuming that when SummerSlam was at the TD Garden, that Gronk would be appearing then. Now, that's assuming it's still at the TD Garden.
So they haven't canceled that, though, yet.
No, that's August, right?
Yeah, that's August. So I think that's technically still on the books. But
this job is we are essential. That's we have letters that we could drive and stuff.
I do. I got mine in the passenger seat. If I ever get pulled over,
I have my letter and stuff to walk down the stairs to my basement.
There you
go. So these are essential jobs. But and this is not a political statement. Okay, before you start to jump all over me, this is jobs that I wish I had had. So today the news is that Stephanie Grisham, is out as the White House press secretary. She's leaving the job having never held a press briefing.
Wow.
That's the job I want.
Yeah, it was like the punter for the Patriots in like 07. Yes. You just didn't have to do anything.
Make me the White House press secretary and then say, like, you don't have to ever do a press briefing. And then you just keep the job till we get sick of you. So she got the job a number of months ago.
Okay.
Today, apparently, she's out, but she never held a press briefing. That's the job I want.
So what did she do?
I don't know.
Nothing?
Well, I'm
just going to hang out.
I'm sure there are other parts of the duties, but I was thinking a job in which they pay you, but you don't have to do anything.
Mm.
Can we find those?
Sure. They got to be out there, Dale. That's one of them. You can look online for those. I'm sure there are some out there.
I was trying to think of how we would secure one of those positions.
Mm. It's called severance pay, Dale. So you can think of that. Once you're gone, you can have a few months where you just kind of collect checks. Then that'll run out. You know, that'll be over with, but that's how that works.
And believe me when I say all joking aside, because I know how dramatic this is for so many people in America. So my youngest, my daughter, who lives out in San Francisco, she gets an email from her company that she works for saying that, and nobody's blaming them, they have to furlough a large portion of the workforce. And that, you know, they'll be reaching out to everybody individually. Well, they reached out to her individually and told her, no, you're not being furloughed. No, you're going to keep working from home.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's a relief, but then you look around and the people that you work with are their home, not getting paid. And it's just brutal. Like, you want to be excited for that, but then on the same token, so many people that you're used to working with are no longer there. So just brutal.
And so many of her coworkers in her individual location, she works for a nationwide company, but in her individual location, like 2/3 of the people who she worked with all got furloughed yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's almost like survivor's guilt, right?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And then you're always kind of waiting, like, all right, is that just the first round of cuts?
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's just so you can't really relax at any point.
And the other thing is, many people have never thought about this in the past, the difference between being laid off, fired, or furloughed. Because my legal understanding is if they furlough you, you keep your health benefits, for instance, or, you know, things like that.
Oh, okay.
As opposed to if they fire you, well, sorry, but those don't exist anymore.
Right. And then also if you're furloughed, right, you still technically have the job. So if they do end up rehiring, like, you don't, that's your job. It's not like you have to apply again for it, right?
I would
think
assume
that's how it works. I don't know.
I mean, I got to admit, I'm not sure, but I would think that would be the case.
Yeah.
But the, you know, and it's happening to people all across the country. They think that by the end of this month, some 20% of the American workforce will be unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those may never have a job to go back to. Some of them are hopeful that if they've been furloughed, they'll have a job, they can go back to it, and they can resume at some point what they did for a living. But for a large portion of the people listening to us right now, they don't know if they've even got a job to go back to when it's all done.
No, I mean, the unemployment rate is just going through the roof, you know, and every day it's just people are adding to it. I feel like it's just going to get overwhelmed, you know.
And we all know people, you know, in this case, you know, my daughter lucked out, but you and I know people, people that we're friends with, who have been furloughed because of what's going on and, you know, wondering what the future holds. And all, you know, as much as I joke about getting a position that you don't actually have to do anything for, but they pay you for it. There are a lot of people out there who would take any position right now that they would pay them for and be happy about.
Right. No, 100%.
We got a lot of stuff we're going to talk about throughout the course of the day today. Tom E. Curran. I feel obligated to stick the E in there, but I don't really know why.
Well, it makes you sound like a prominent writer, I believe. I think the Boston Globe enforces their employees to put the middle initial
Kevin
in there.
Kevin Paul DuPont.
Well, that's just a straight-up serial killer name. I mean, full name.
John Wayne Gacy.
Yep.
Kevin Paul DuPont.
Kind of similar.
Because they always stick
so
the middle name in with serial killers.
We have to call him Tom E. Curran. Hmm.
I mean, my Twitter handle is Dale E. Arnold, but I don't require that you use that in the course
of normal
conversation.
That's the writer in you. Does your book say Dale E. Arnold or does it say Dale Arnold?
It just says Dale Arnold.
Oh, okay.
I literally had to look over.
Like, wait a minute.
Over to the side over
there
here.
There you go, Dale. You passed. Not a serial killer.
Good news.
Right. Yeah, you're all right.
You know, the next book, because I'm working on the second one right now.
Ooh,
maybe I'll go full blown serial killer and have Dale Everett Arnold.
Is it If These Walls Could Talk More?
No. No.
It is the ceilings could talk?
No ceilings either. It is a hockey-related book.
It's not a noir? It's not like a mystery noir?
You just wanted to be able to use that word today, didn't you?
Well, I didn't know if you were branching off, Dale, and doing
like partner
sort
with John
crime.
Grisham?
Yeah, you could do like a crime thriller type of thing.
Maybe I could
feel
do
like
that.
I feel like you've been pigeonholed, typecast into hockey. I feel like you could branch out. You like a whodunit? Who doesn't like a whodunit?
So the one book that I've written was a hockey book. And
right.
The second book, which I've signed a contract for, is a hockey book. And you're afraid, you know, sorry, but that's all you can do.
Well, I have a feeling now you're going to be like, hey, I'd like to write a third book. And they're like, yeah, all right, what other hockey would you like to write about? You're like, well, actually, I have a great caper that I've been working on.
A noir.
I have thousands
of
pages of this caper
that I've been working towards.
Yeah.
So Tommy Curran will join us at noon. We have Kiefer Madness at 1:30. It is Tuesday, so we have Karaoke Tuesday, because despite the situation in the world, people still want to sing. Well, one person
Chime
wants
does.
To sing.
Yep. Yeah, he'll put you in a good mood right around 1:55 today. So I'm looking forward to that.
He says he's
got something really special up his sleeve, too.
He says that every single week.
And he's never wrong.
He's kind of sort of been wrong.
Last week was a banger. The week before that was a banger. The week before that
was a banger.
It's
like his gambling. It's 50-50.
Yeah, that's true.
Every week is
a banger. I don't think last week was a great week for him, but we'll recap that on Friday.
And I think, frankly, you saved him in one of the more recent Karaoke
Tuesdays.
Good point.
That was a
good
duet.
All right.
Yeah, he's just dumping on Chime. No reason.
I was sabotaged last week.
You sabotaged Davey Eyeballs.
I did no
week.
Such thing. I'm not here pressing the buttons.
Maybe you
during
should.
Karaoke Tuesday.
Maybe you China the Chinese chicken. You have a drumstick and your brain stops ticking. Watching X-Files with no lights on. With Dollar Maze on. I hope the smoking man's in this one.
I can't deny when I'm outshined.
Outshined?
I get it.
Outshined?
Outshined.
Outshined?
Nice.
All right.
By the way, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have their uniform unveiling at 1 o'clock today.
Oh, good.
We'll take
you there live.
It can't be the creamsicle, can it? They aren't bringing that thing back.
I don't know. I feel like, because online there's been a bunch of like, oh, this is what they are, and you don't know if it's just people messing with you. And one of them was kind of creamsicle. It was like a lighter orange, but instead of like the pirate with like the knife in his mouth, it was more of like a ship. So we'll see if that's what it ends up being.
It looked very Disney-like.
Yeah, it did. Yep, a little Pirates of the Caribbean.
Well, you know, if it worked for Disney, it'll work for them. A bunch of other stuff we're going to get to throughout the course of the day. There was an interesting piece by Jeff Passan about a plan that Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball Players Association are reportedly working on together to get baseball back, and perhaps as early as a month or so, which I find a little hard to believe, but we'll tell you about that as well. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe. Before we get to all of that stuff, it's an award-winning Trending Now.
It's Bam.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What the bleep is wrong with you people?
Now back to Dale and Keith.
There he is!
Middays 10 to 2
on WEEI.
So it's kind of an indication of the times we live in. I mentioned, you know, one of my daughters is living in San Francisco. I have another daughter who's a teacher. And she is at this point teaching her high school students remotely from home. Which is really hard when you consider that she's a phys ed teacher, a phys ed and health teacher. Now, the health part you can do, you know, over your computer from home. Phys ed is a little more difficult. But there are a bunch of school systems out there who evidently found out that their Zoom accounts that they were using to remotely teach classrooms full of kids had been hacked.
Yeah, by John exposing himself.
Well, that too.
I mean, John, bored.
Yeah, I know you're bored, but that's not that's illegal.
Leave the kids alone, John. For God's sake.
And we're also trying to prove we're doing better jobs than the teachers.
So you've got this issue with Zoom. Some school systems have ceased using Zoom to teach their kids remotely because they're concerned about the hacking issue.
Mm.
Well, it turns out that there's somebody else who's worried about that. Baltimore Ravens coach John Harbaugh said about the video conference NFL draft, April 23rd to the 25th, he said, quote, big concern. Every time I read something in like the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times that talks about how messed up Zoom is or some of these other deals, I immediately text it to our IT people and director of football administration, Nick Mateo, one of those guys, and they assure me we're doing everything humanly possible. We'll see what happens. I really wouldn't want the opposing coaches to have our playbook or our draft meetings. That would be preferable if we can stay away from that, unquote. So we now know that the draft will, in fact, be completely remote. It will be a virtual draft.
Right.
And already you've got coaches and general managers saying, and I've already seen the memes, you know, showing Belichick hacking into, you know, some of these teams' draft rooms and figuring out what they're going to do.
Right.
But it's probably a legitimate concern for some people.
So are they more concerned that, you know, Team A might be spying on Team B? Or are they
yes.
more worried about, like, some rogue guy jumping in there and messing up the thing? Because that's yeah. what I'd be more worried about.
I think they're more worried about Team A knowing what Team B is doing.
Yeah.
The rogue guy jumping in, you unfortunately had this horrific situation last week. The New York Rangers were doing a teleconference introducing this hockey player that they had signed out of the University of Wisconsin.
Right.
And I can't remember the kid's name. I apologize.
Yeah, I read the story. I know what
he's an African-American
yeah.
hockey player.
Mm-hmm.
And some nitwit / nitwits
right.
kind of crashed the video conference and started using racist terms towards this kid.
Right.
So, yes, the guy on the street being able to hack in probably scares them. In Harbaugh's case, he's probably more concerned about Bill Belichick and his band of geniuses down in Foxborough figuring out how to get in and see what the Ravens plan to do with their pick.
I mean, can't you also set up, like, it doesn't have to be Zoom. It doesn't have to be those things. So are they afraid they're going to, like, hack into their phones? Like, because can't you do, like, a group call or things like that? I don't know. I think that's pretty paranoid if you think that other teams are going to be doing that. Now, maybe they will. But so now they're going to what? They're going to have guys on their staff dedicating their time to trying to steal the intel from other teams.
Well, you know how paranoid football coaches are in general anyway.
No, they 100% are. But a lot of times that is, you know, if we show up at Gillette Stadium, we think there are cameras
right,
in here because
right.
that's their home field and they have access to it. And they
they're sending people through our hotel rooms trying to get playbooks and stuff.
Right. And it's their fault that they're hearing the radio broadcast and the headphones. It's their fault that there's, like, warm Gatorade. Like, think about the stuff that has been said.
Damage is done, my friend.
Right. There's all that stuff. But when it's you're each in your own homes, like, yeah, you always run that risk. But, like, do the Patriots or any team, they have a couple of hackers on their staff. They're like, listen, if we can get in there, like, we need to find a way to get into the Zoom broadcast of the Chargers, and we need to listen to their intel, and we need to be able to figure that out. Couldn't they do that in other years, too? Because I know they're not at home, but they're in a war room, and those guys are all sitting around. Couldn't you probably hack into that, too?
Well, presumably, if they're sitting in a war room somewhere, it'd be hard to hack into that. It is certainly much easier if you've got some teleconference going on.
Well, yeah, it is. Yeah.
With, you know, eight scouts and a GM and a head coach, and you're saying, oh, I really think we got to take this guy here. And I understand their concerns. They're probably overstated just because football coaches are paranoid to begin with.
But I also think, I mean, maybe this is something where, you know how Roger Goodell was like, hey, you guys can't talk about us keeping the draft and don't complain about that or you're going to get in trouble. Can't he say, listen, if we find out at any level that anybody hacked into another team's, teleconference or whatever, like, you're losing your first round pick for the next year. Like, get out in front of it right now.
In fact, I'd say the next 2 or 3 years. I mean, really make it onerous.
Just be like, listen, we're not doing this. This is weird times. Don't try to take advantage of it right now. We're all doing something that isn't ideal. This isn't how we normally do drafts. Teams are going to have to adjust a little bit. But if we find out that you are, like, spying on these other teams, then forget it. Like, that is what's going to be the steepest punishment that there's ever been. And you would hope at that point teams would say, all right,
this isn't worth it.
If we had any plans of listening into what the Bills were doing, like, you're right, you still might have the occasional, like, somehow, some hacker or some kid is going to be able to, like, jump into the chat room for a minute, or he's going to be able to do something like that. We're probably going to hear a couple stories like that. But you should be able to prevent your teams from cheating to that degree.
So evidently, because of the restrictions that the coronavirus has caused, lack of pro days, private workouts, visits, all of that stuff. Pittsburgh Steelers general manager Kevin Colbert had an interesting proposal he apparently made to league officials on a conference call. He said that what the NFL should do is award 3 extra draft picks to every team in the league because of all of the question marks people have, you know, that in effect take it from 7 rounds to 10. He thinks that that's what you can do to kind of overcome all of the restrictions that the coronavirus has caused.
No, I don't think you need to do that. I think because you look at all the undrafted guys that sign, you know, like Malcolm Butler, J.C. Jackson, you know, Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, I believe. Like, those guys are still going to be able to sign. So I don't think you need to cover it up. And think about how many picks the Patriots, for example, have in the 6th and 7th round this year.
Right.
So now they need 3 more. So now how many? Like,
oh,
how
I think Belichick would say, no, thank you, I'm good.
Yeah, I think you can then go after. It's again, yeah, you don't have all the pro days and you don't have all the interviews, but just about everything else took place. The whole college football season played. There was no interruptions like there was in basketball. I mean, forget baseball and, like, you know, those college sports. You had the Senior Bowl. You had all that. You had the NFL Combine, for God's sake. So I don't think you need to add on all these extra picks. To me, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
And part of the reason, although he wouldn't comment when he was asked about it, part of the reason is, and you go back to this, you know, they're so afraid of making a mistake. They're so afraid of this system being different for them. That what, in effect, what he's saying is, look, we got a pretty good chance of screwing something up here because of the way this is working. So give us these 3 extra picks so that we can help offset the mistakes we're going
to
make.
And I would just point to every draft of all time and say, look at how many screw ups were there. Like, there, that's all the draft is for the most part, is, you know, teams taking chances. And like, how many first round busts have there been in the history of any draft? And that's with everything, you know. 30 interviews or whatever, all these different visits, like multiple conversations with players and with their coaches and everything else, and they're still swinging missing. The Patriots, the last 5 drafts, didn't have to worry about a virtual draft with no meetings, and yet they still haven't walked away with any real impact players. So I would say, if anything, this could maybe help them.
One of our Twitter followers, Dave, brought up a great point. He said, I'd be more concerned about an outsider hacking and releasing than another team doing so. In other words, Belichick and the Patriots aren't hacking the Ravens, you know, Zoom video conference, but some outsider is, and then telling the world what they're talking about.
Yeah, that was sort of, I mean, that's kind of what I thought should be the bigger fear, is somebody jumping in, and you have a couple different things. One person is just jumping in maybe to mess with you, right? It's just on the chat. Roman's like, look, I can do this. You know, it's like sometimes that's what the hackers do, right? You're like, hey, look at me. I'm in here. And they leave some sort of message or like some spam and then they're out of there. Or, right, you have the other thing where they're like, hey, do you want to see what the Chargers big board is? You know, boom, post it online. So I would definitely be a little bit more concerned about that than the other teams. You should be able to talk to all of the owners and GMs and coaches and be like, we're not doing that. If we get even a whiff of you doing that, like there's the biggest punishments. Whereas these other guys, and again, there were always opportunities to sort of do this, but now that it is center stage and all of the teams have to do it this way, you're always going to get some idiot, some bored guy who's everybody's bored right now, who has the capability of it, says, you know what? I'll probably hack into this. And so we'll see. Now,
there are technological geniuses out there who can probably do it in their spare time.
I'm kind of surprised we didn't hear anybody that hacked into the commissioner's summit with the president over the weekend.
Yes.
Because that was announced.
There might be the whole Secret Service, White House. That might be a little different.
I don't know.
Maybe you're a little more hesitant to hack into that.
Some of these hackers, man.
They don't care.
They can do anything.
You're probably right.
You know, I kind of thought we were going to get something, but we didn't. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a risk that they have to run, and they got to find ways to kind of be careful and all that other stuff.
According to Peter King and others, the NFL, in an attempt probably to garner some positive publicity out of this, are apparently going to turn this whole three-day NFL draft into kind of a telethon to benefit coronavirus fundraising efforts, which is smart. Good for them.
Yeah,
I got no issues if they can find a way to monetize this for the greater good. Good for them. But it's probably an indication that maybe Roger Goodell is concerned about negative publicity or blunting some of the criticism of others within his league who are talking about tone deaf and all of that.
It might be more towards the GMs, right? Because those are the GMs seem to be the ones that are saying they don't want to do it. But I personally think it has more to do with how things have been sort of set up. I don't necessarily think that they think this is a horrible thing to be doing right now. It's just more of, well, we didn't get to do every little bit of detailed homework that we normally get to do. So it's a little out of whack. And so we shouldn't do it. And this is going to be viewed the ratings for the draft this year are probably going to be higher than maybe they've ever been.
I guess apparently ESPN and the NFL Network are going to do a combined show.
Okay.
Rather than having, separate, they're going to combine resources, combine crews and all of that stuff.
Yeah, so it definitely doesn't hurt that you're going to have so many eyeballs on it. And if you're going to also raise money to fight the coronavirus, like that makes all the sense in the world. Like at least you're doing something good.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number at the top of the hour. We'll talk about the plan that Major League Baseball is working on. And by the way, Major League Baseball confirmed large parts of Jeff Passan's report here in the last few minutes. We'll talk about that at the top of the hour. And by the way, I apologize sincerely to you, my friend, because I did not realize that today was hashtag National Beer Day.
I feel like every day is National Beer Day in my house. So I never know who gets to pick
these things.
I feel like it's beer day all the time, but it's all good.
It works.
We could all use a beer day.
You know, before
these days, it's every day.
It is.
Any
before
day that
this show is over, I might have to crack one in your honor.
That sounds very nice, Dale.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Ben Volen of the Boston Globe thinks he knows a possible quarterback target for the New England Patriots. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's Dale and Keefe, Tom E. Curran coming up at noon here on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dale and Keefe is on from 10 to 2.
That's why you get up in the morning.
Give me the ball and get out of the way.
On WEEI.
Ben Bolin today in the Boston Globe with the idea that maybe the Patriots can trade up for Tua. Maybe they can offer number 23 and number 87 and maybe something else for the number 3 pick and get Tua. Come on, what are we talking about here, Jackie?
Come on, what are we talking about here? I mean, is he throwing in Gronk just in case Gronk comes back, maybe? This isn't going to happen because he's not going to get past the Dolphins. There's just no way.
Well, the folks on Get Up were kind of trashing Ben Bolin today, just totally unfairly, if you're asking me. So here's why they were trashing Ben Bolin. A couple of hours ago, Bolin tweeted out, "More buzz today, this time from ESPN's Mel Kiper, that the Dolphins may choose Herbert over Tua." By the way, I've heard that elsewhere too, so that is not necessarily an outlandish
thought.
Yeah,
that's not crazy at all.
No. To which Bolin then added, "I'm telling you, the opportunity for the Patriots to get Tua and not have to give up the farm is there."
So you can't, Dale, and we talked about this when it first came out, you really can't get up to the top five with just what Ben was offering. You can't.
No,
and I know
no.
He found some website that kind of backs it up.
He doesn't actually offer what they're talking about, at least not in the tweets that I've seen here.
So he said 23, 87, and Joe Tooney to move up to five. There's no chance. It will not happen. You need to talk about multiple first-round picks.
Right.
A team's not going to drop down 20 spots to take your third-rounder and Joe Tooney, who is going to have to play on the franchise tag, or you're going to have to sign him and make him one of the highest-paid guards in all of football. You look at the Mitch Trubisky trade a couple of years ago. It was between San Fran and Chicago, and it was just they dropped down one spot. San Fran moved down one spot, and they got 2/3 and a 1/4. And that's going down one.
Yep.
So going down 20, I mean, you can only imagine what you would have to give up for
it
that.
It would have to be 23 and
right.
Next year's first-round pick. And
so the first part of it is, like, if you're talking about, hey, Tua might not go to the Dolphins, fine.
That's fine. Actually legit. I think that's real.
Yeah, fine.
And now someone replying to Ben said, "Bill isn't taking him without the medicals. Pat's doctors would need to clear him. This is a non-story unless someone can confirm if teams are happy with his medicals."
Yeah.
To which Ben responded, "There," meaning the Patriots, "their doctors saw him at the combine. Belichick also has the inside track with Saban and can get any info he needs. And unless they trade the farm for Tua," parentheses, "they won't," "it wouldn't set the Patriots that far back if Tua is a bust. Rookies are cheap." Well, it would set the Patriots that far back if he's a bust.
It would absolutely would. Take a look at every team that has swung and missed in the first round of quarterbacks, and it screws them. Like, it absolutely burns them because now you're still chasing that quarterback, and you didn't get an impact player in the first round. It's one of the things that for many years has sunk the Browns. As bad as they are, you can point it back to, oh, let's try Brandon Weeden. Let's try Brady Quinn. Let's try, a whole bunch of guys that they took in the first round. And maybe Mayfield will be good, but they just swing and a miss. Teams in this division we've seen go after guys like E.J. Manuel and J.P. Lossman and everything. Like, that screws you. So if they moved up, because, again, even with the hip injury and even with some of the concerns, Tua's not going to fall, I don't believe, outside of the top 10. And so if the Patriots are going to trade all their stuff to get into the top 10, and then if that guy sucks, how on earth does that not burn you? Like, that's the definition of burning you. Like, this is a team, how important have we been saying is their first-round pick this year needs to be an impact player, whether it's a guard, safety, quarterback, tight end? they need to hit on this pick because
absolutely.
Their roster is old, the young guys don't seem to be impact players, and they don't have a lot to show from the last five drafts. So I don't know what Volan's talking about. If they trade up, because it wouldn't just be their first-round pick, it'd be their first-round pick and a bunch of other stuff to get Tua, and then if he sucks, he's like, well, it doesn't cost you much. Yeah, maybe not financially, but the way your roster's going to look going forward is going to be a huge impact.
Now, let's be honest, though. I mean, just on its surface, it always seems like Belichick likes to take those chances on medical question marks from Gronk to, I mean, you can go down the list.
Yeah, good point.
But this is different when you're talking about a top five pick and a quarterback who had a busted up hip and has had ankle injuries as well.
Right.
I mean, there are
right.
medical questions when you're taking a tight end in the fourth round. And then there are medical questions when you're taking a quarterback at fifth overall.
Definitely. And the last time they took a medical issue in the first round was
Isaiah Wynn.
Probably, yeah, Isaiah Wynn. And then he missed games. And then obviously yep. Dominique Easley. That was there was red flags all over Dominique Easley. And that was a bust. Rozai Dowling was either the first or second pick of the second round. And that guy was hurt all the way since Pop Warner. And surprisingly, he got hurt. So Gronk is this shining example of, see, he was hurt and his stock fell and we were able to get him and look how good he was. But look at how many other examples have they drafted an injured guy and then they go to the pros and just gets injured more. So I don't like Tua for a lot of reasons, and I think there are better quarterbacks in the draft anyway. And so if you're gonna go crazy to trade up, get something better. I think Burrow's better. I think Herbert's better. I don't know about Love. I think Love's too much of a risk, but I don't think Tua's going to be a very good pro.
Now, I could see, and you know, just playing this out, I could see Nick Saban giving Belichick a glowing report on Tua. You know, this is a great kid. He's a leader. He's a yeah. this. He's a that. You know, if this guy's healthy, and Ben's right, Nick would know probably better than anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, if this guy's healthy, Bill, I'm telling you, he's your next franchise quarterback. I could see all that happening.
I do, too. I would just be leery of that also because maybe that's what Saban feels. But Saban is a great college coach. He's a great recruiter. And he's a great coach. He was terrible in the NFL.
Yep.
And I'm sure he also told Belichick that Cyrus Jones was a really good corner and a really good punt returner. And maybe I don't think he's lying to Bill. I think he felt that way.
Sure.
And he wasn't. Just like Urban Meyer gave Belichick all the details on all these Florida guys, and how did they work out?
Including a certain tight end.
Yeah, exactly. So I would just be leery. Like, did Nick Saban talk up Damian Harris, and then they took Damian Harris, and they're like, oh, wait a minute, can he play? So I would be leery. Like, I'm sure Saban would try to help, but the Saban-Urban Meyer pipeline, now I know Dante Hightower's been very good, but overall, it hasn't exactly giving you a whole bunch of reward. You got better players from Greg Schiano's Rutgers team than you got Urban Meyer's Florida team.
I mean, I'm intrigued by what Tua brings to the table. I liked him as a college quarterback. If he hadn't gotten hurt, I think he and Joe Burrow would have been 1-1A.
Probably.
I mean, yep. He'd have been right there with Burrow, but unfortunately, he did get hurt. Yeah. He did bust up his hip.
Yeah, and of all injuries, too, and I know it's different now, but it's what Bo Jackson had, right? Bo Jackson got knocked out and his career was over. Now, that was a long time ago, and Tua claims that he's healthy and he can come back, but I don't know. I mean, that offense with those receivers that he has, I mean, you have two first-round pick wide receivers, and he's a smaller guy, and I'm not completely anti-small guy because, you know, Drew Brees and Russell Wilson and you know, even Kyler Murray, those guys look good. So maybe he get up there. Burrow and Herbert, to me, seem like a better chance of being a Pro Bowl quarterback than Tua does.
If Tua falls, do you try and move up a little bit? Like, if he falls to 10, do you try and get him kind of like
yeah,
where
I think
Kansas
at that
City
point,
got Mahomes?
Yeah, because sure. Then that point, it does turn into – good chime. That turns into Belichick's value thing. Right?
Think,
so now you don't have to give up as much. So, yeah, at that point, and if all those other quarterbacks are already off the board – I guess I could talk myself into that just because you're not giving up as much. Like, you're not trading three first-rounders to get him, and now this guy better hit. So maybe. But even 10 seems high. He'd have to be even lower. He'd have to have almost like an Aaron Rodgers fall for me to say, all right, get up there and do it.
Now, the question, obviously, is whether Belichick thinks this guy is the next franchise quarterback because
right.
he's the guy making the decision. I'm wondering from a fan's perspective, you're sitting here now, your franchise quarterback is now a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Your second franchise quarterback is now traded to the San Francisco 49ers. So if you don't think Jarrett Stidham is the next franchise quarterback, and I don't know anybody who thinks that,
right?
Is this the guy? If you felt like, okay, this could be the quarterback here for the next 10 years, mm-hmm. then it's worth it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, 100%. A quarterback is worth, if you know, and there's obviously no guarantees, which is the whole risk of the whole thing, but if you know that this guy is worth it, it's worth whatever you would trade for him. Like, if Patrick Mahomes was in the draft, you would trade your entire draft for Patrick Mahomes, and it would be smart.
You'd give up your next 3 or 4 first-round picks.
Yes. Oh, yeah, 100% you would. That's what those teams are shooting for. That's what you're targeting. And I feel like there's too much risk with Tua to give up that many first-round picks, because that's what it's going to have to be. It's not going to be your first, a third, and Joe Tooney. Like, that's not going to get it done.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Tom E. Curran will join us at noon today. We'll get his take on all of these possibilities as well. Kiefer Madness at 1:30 today. It is Karaoke Tuesday. That's coming up at about 1:50 or somewhere in that ballpark. We'll talk about the plan to save Major League Baseball and whether or not they could be first to return to the field of play and how it would actually happen if, in fact, they are. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.